Now go.
Ready in 3, 2, 1. Here we go.
Thanks for the countdown, David. Welcome back to
Ready Hoops HD, everybody. Ready in 3, 2, 1. Are we starting yet?
3 minutes ago. welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is the Hoops HD Report. I'm your host over here in the corner, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs over there.
Woohoo!
John Titel. Right below me, we got Joby Fortson. This is a show where we review and recap all the news from all the major conferences and all the top-rated teams in the nation, and, I don't know, listen to David drone on a little bit, too, I think.
Right. Talk about the top coaches in the nation. Tim Miles, still undefeated in the state of Nebraska.
There's a lot of coaches that are undefeated in the state of Nebraska.
Well, they've got more wins than – I mean, Duke doesn't have as many wins in the state of Nebraska as Tim Miles does. I think you have to take that into consideration.
Okay, let's just get into the things here. What we like to do here is we go through all the conferences, and we saw a lot of good games on Saturday, a really weak week, I guess we could call it, before that. But Saturday especially was a great game, day of basketball. And I'm going to go ahead and pull some standings up on the screen here, and I'm going to start it off here. Hopefully if this works, and sometimes it doesn't.
I mean, there was a good game Tuesday night, but
There was a lousy game, but let's start off with the number one team in the nation, I thought. Kansas Jayhawks, who got a tough battle from Villanova on Saturday, but did pull off the win. Joby, is this still, you know, has Kansas proven themselves, or are you a little bit concerned about how they played against a struggling Villanova team?
Yeah, I wonder how much, you know, we talk about Allen Fieldhouse a lot. Given, like, you know, Washington last year and all this stuff, in the Big 12, it clearly means a lot, but they seem out of conference despite this, you know, despite everything else, that they don't always come to the fore. If that game had been in a neutral site, we'd be saying, wow, that is a great game between two potential Final Four teams, all that stuff. I'm going to still look at it that way. Kansas is good. Villanova, Booth pulled out his stuff in that game. I think it was a case of Villanova playing well and Kansas playing well. I'm going to still stick that the Jayhawks, and by the way, look at who the Jayhawks have beat just down the line. Forget Villanova. I mean, all of a sudden that Tennessee win's looking really darn good. It is just a murderer's row. Marquette's an excellent team. Michigan State top 10 in the net. I mean, and then these side games, New Mexico State, it was tight. You know, once again, it was that situation of, is this really, is this really playing in Kansas? Is that really a huge advantage? But the fact of the matter is their schedule's awesome. They've gone through it perfect. I have no qualms saying Kansas right now is the best team in the country. And, yeah, they look it. And they've proven it by winning some tight games, but typically those are good teams.
Yeah, one other thing. I don't know about playing in Kansas being an advantage. I think it is. I do think being Kansas is an advantage when you're talking about playing New Mexico State. Although I thought more than anything it was a tremendous effort by New Mexico State than it was anything else. But you mentioned it, Joby. Like you've got two wins away from home against likely protected seeds, or at least probable protected seeds. Another win against a really good Marquette team. There's one thing lacking on here, though. There is one thing that is missing, and it's not fair at all to say that Kansas hasn't been tested. They have yet to play a true road game.
They've yet to play a true road game, David, but three neutral court wins against top 20 net teams is pretty darn good, and they've got their tests in addition to the Big 12 schedule at Arizona State and a game at Kentucky at the end of January. So let's not
– Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, but we also had another undefeated team, though. Titel on the right-hand side there, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And really interesting here, I find that in the net ratings, Kansas is 5 overall with all those great wins. Texas Tech 4 overall above them. I don't know if I quite understand that, but let me ask you about Texas Tech a little bit here.
So I think they are starting to become a contender rather than a pretender. They've not had the most impossible non-conference schedule, but winning all your games is winning all your games. Jarrett Culver, near perfect in the win over Abilene Christian, 12 of 13 from the field. Obviously, the ginormous game at the Garden, a.k.a. Duke's home away from home on Thursday. I don't think they're going to beat Duke, But I hope Duke's not, like, looking ahead to the ACC schedule, because they should take the Red Raiders very seriously.
In terms of surprises, how big of a surprise is Texas Tech? Not, I don't believe received a single vote in either human poll in the preseason. And I was wrong. I said that that was the case with them last year, although one of you guys went back and verified that they did receive 6 preseason votes. But, again, second year in a row, ranked in the top 15 before Christmas after starting off 0.
I'm kind of with Tytel, though. I don't think they've really been tested as much as some of the ratings.
Well, look at that win over Nebraska. I mean, granted, it was 7-on-3 in that game, from what I understand.
There's a couple of teams I want to also discuss the same conference, Joby. I just pulled them up here on the left-hand side. Sitting here now with only one loss, almost breaking the top 25, just missed the top 25 in both polls today. The Oklahoma Sooners very quietly 9-1 now.
Well, I mean, I think that's the voters messing up on not being in the top 25. I mean, you know, the resume building, the resume building metrics have them in a very good spot. They've had a great year to this extent. David mentioned a few weeks ago when they were about to play Notre Dame. Okay, these are two teams with big records. You know, who did they? We're going to find out who really, you know, earned their big record or not. And I commented, I said, wait a minute, you know, Oklahoma actually played a pretty good Florida team and took care of business. Wofford, you know, is a solid team. North Texas, check out North Texas's record. As I remember, one loss on that, and it's to the Oklahoma Sooners. Not saying North Texas is a dream team, but they've taken care of business
after
Oklahoma.
Yeah, and to further your point, Joby, I mean, I think I wasn't a believer in Oklahoma when the year started, and I was less of a believer when, at the beginning of the year, they're sweating out Rio Grande Valley and San Antonio. I know that they blew those games open, but for a large portion of those games, it was either close or they were behind. But much to their credit and the coaching job of Lon Kruger, this team hasn't just been winning. They've been beating better and better teams, and they've been playing better and better themselves. And like you said, no, there's no wins against first ballot teams on here yet, but Notre Dame, Florida, Wofford is good. North Texas is good. Dayton is at least, well, maybe not.
We'll see if Wichita State and USC turn around to their preseason expectations. I mean, they haven't yet, but who knows if they do. And in each case, Wichita State, 80-48 was what that game was like. I mean, it was a blow out.
Well, really, what comes to Oklahoma is, I mean, Christian James, who was, you know, I think he barely made double-digit scoring last year. Now he's averaging almost 20 points a game this year. And, I mean, I think that's the difference. I think with, you know, that all the scoring that was available, he's the guy that's jumped in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Interesting stretch there, as you see on the screen, their upcoming schedule. They got Creighton at home. That is very winnable. After that, 3 of their next 4 are on the road. 2 of them are against top 15 teams, and their one home game is the Bedlam game.
A couple of teams, Tytel, I think you had some comments about Iowa State, actually. They got their profile up there on the right-hand side.
So 9-2 with not a lot of meat in the top quadrants there. But the thing is for them, it's going to be a whole new roster in a couple of weeks. So this Friday, they're supposed to get back Lindell Wigginton, their star guard, and Solomon Young. Additionally, they've had 2 guys who've been suspended for most of the season in Zoran Talley and Cameron Lard, who are both back from suspension. You talk about sometimes a guy will transfer in the middle of the season and the team will add him after the end of the first semester. Adding like 4 new guys to their lineup, I think they're going to be a contender because they're adding so much talent who hasn't been on the court for the first month of the season.
Yeah, and didn't really cost them a loss at Iowa, a neutral court loss to Arizona, nothing to completely hang their heads on, and and they still have 2 weeks really until their next real test on January 2nd.
Other than the Eastern Illinois game, and they have time to bring these guys in. Yes, Kansas is in your face. But besides that, it's the bottom end of the Big 12 that they will face along with Eastern Illinois to get them ready. It's Oklahoma State, who, yeah, has some nice wins here and there, but it's more that they have a losing record for a reason, and Baylor, who's been disappointing. So they have a chance to work their way in until they get to probably their first real true value test, which is K-State. I'm saying Kansas is just too tough maybe, but But it doesn't matter if Wigginton's there or not, you know, with Kansas.
Well, Hilton Magic, it is at home.
David, I think we'd be remiss if we don't discuss one more team. We've discussed the good teams of the Big 12. And left there, I think I have one of the bad teams of the Big 12 from what I've seen so far. The Mountaineers with another bad loss to – I mean, a real bad loss to Rhode Island, I thought, this week.
The worst loss of the year, probably. And it's just a team that has not gelled the way that we thought it would, or I thought it would. This is a team that started off ranked in the teens. We'll get to Buffalo later in the show, but it's starting to raise the question, how good was that win, really? The best win of the year is probably a neutral floor win against Joe's. It was a close game. And is Joe's even an NIT team? I know the win that felt the best was the backyard brawl win against Pitt, but it was at home. This is a team that has essentially beaten no one above NIT level.
Really, it
you
is.
You would have thought that West Virginia would be giving Pitt a bad loss for Pitt.
Oh, jeez, that's awful. Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule here in the Big 12. I've already mentioned a few of these games. A few of the others.
Look at Baylor just real quick?
Okay, I was going to talk about that. We got to the Pac-12. We got to the Pac-12 in a minute, but I can pull the team sheet up.
You have to.
I know Tytel doesn't want to.
I know that they started off with a limp, a major limp, but still they've kind of hit their stride a little bit.
They've won one nice win, yes.
Yeah, the win against Arizona, and then they've got the win against Arizona, and they've
David, can we go on?
Yes, we can go.
Thank you. Well, another team that we did not discuss, though, TCU, who didn't really play this past week, but 8-1 still on the season. They're sitting there just outside of the top 25s as well.
Yeah, if you look at their profile, there's nothing on it yet. But the way they've been playing recently, I think that they're good enough to get those wins when they get those future opportunities.
A couple games to circle here coming up this week, though. First of all, we already mentioned that Texas Tech-Duke game Thursday. Also, Kansas and Arizona State, the revenge game there from when Arizona State went and beat them on the road last year. Tytel, you being an Arizona State hater, do you think that Arizona State could pull off the upset there?
I don't. I mean, the fact that Azubuike still hurt, I guess, gives them a chance, and the fact that it's not in Kansas. But a lot of great games, Oregon, Baylor, Providence, Texas, Creighton, Oklahoma. We're going to really see what the Big 12 is about. Last year they were a preeminent conference in America. Now they get a chance to prove it.
Yeah, look at those bloated records, though. I mean, for this to be a down year for the league, it's pretty up for a down year standard.
I wouldn't argue that it's a down year yet, although it may not be as good as the next conference we're going to go to. Joby, this is your conference, the ACC. Yeah.
Georgia,
you want to talk about bloated records. You want to talk about bloated records. The top seven teams there are 0-1 or 2 losses. Pretty darn impressive.
Well, and the top-level teams that you see on that, they're not just NCAA tournament teams, barring Boston College. These are – you take those – I even go down to as far as Louisville because I actually think the Cardinals are a pretty good team. They all have a chance of making a run to the protected seed land. I'm not saying they will be. They physically all can. But there is a chance for all of them. I don't think BC will, but all of them have a real shot at it. As evidenced by, look at the net ratings, 2, 3, 33, 16, 23, 11, 18. That's pretty freaking awesome. Then you fall off. And a lot of the teams we thought would be really good. I mean, that Syracuse loss this week was just disappointing if you're a Cuse fan. They should have taken care of business. But but Syracuse, Clemson, some people have Notre Dame. They have been overly disappointing, and they are in trouble right now in terms of bids. I mean, you could see a chasm between protected seed level teams and then nobody, which the ACC usually has a ton of like 7, 8, 9, 10 type seeds. You might have nobody in that range and then go straight to the NIT where Clemson is. That's at least, you know, how I see the conference plays.
One of the teams you mentioned, Joby, what about Notre Dame? Because I've been rough on them all year long, but they had a real nice win, I thought, against Purdue this past weekend. And then you look at them.
Purdue is way overrated. I think Purdue has 4 losses for a reason.
I think Notre Dame's hugging the bubble at a time where I didn't think that they would be anywhere near it. I think right now they're right around it.
I mean, Notre Dame, if Purdue tears through the Big Ten, that's going to serve the ACC really well. because, you know, ACC has a couple of wins against Purdue. But I don't want to get excited about Purdue because it seems like Purdue's losing to everybody, you know, yeah. Not competitively, not in blowouts, but sooner or later you got to win games. And Purdue, except for one, I think, is not winning games. And so,
yeah,
good for Notre Dame. Yeah, but they lost to Oklahoma, as we saw on the previous page.
Yeah.
Sure, Notre Dame, given the strength of the conference at the top, if they get like four wins against that top seven, they're in. You know, as long as they take care of business against the bottom of the conference.
If you're watching the screen there, just a quick note, bam, you just saw a score appear there. As we record this, Georgia Tech just lost at home to Gardner Webb. Pathetic, absolutely pathetic.
That would be one of those teams. But then Georgia Tech, here's what's crazy. Then Georgia Tech just came off a win, I think, against St. Louis, right? I mean, it's
actually
crazy.
David, I want to ask you about this game here. It was obviously the game of the week in the ACC, North Carolina, Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I mean, very impressive performance. 103 points, first of all, which is great to see that type of offense in that caliber of a game, too. But what a game for the Tar Heels.
It was. Now, they were at home, and they had all of the emotional momentum and the atmosphere behind them, as well as the familiarity. I mean, North Carolina might not lose at home all year, or if they do, it's probably two protected seed level teams. So I don't think it dings Gonzaga that much. But the Tar Heels, definitely a top 10 team, and they showed it in that game. But yeah, like at one point, they had, I think, a 17-point lead, and every time Gonzaga looked like they had some momentum built up to cut it down the single digits, North Carolina stifled it. So,
and Tytel, another team that had a solid win this week, I guess, NC State beating with a win over Penn State. Mm-hmm. But what about the Wolfpack? Very quietly sitting there, 16 in the net, another team that probably should be in the top 25 for what they've done so far, aren't they?
Only lost by 4 points at Wisconsin. I think that's a pretty good resume. One of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation, over 40% as a team. A huge win in Atlantic City over the Nittany Lions last Saturday. The big test, as we'll see when we flip to the schedule page coming up this week against Auburn on Wednesday, we're going to see exactly if they are a pretender or contender.
Right.
Yeah, I like this. I like this NC State team. I'm putting my money on contender.
And before we leave this conference, I know there's a lot. We could probably sit here about 5 hours on it, but not many of them had huge games like the ones we've discussed already. But Joby, I got to throw that other game on Saturday, the one that's in red up there. What the heck happened to Syracuse?
I don't know. Because I actually thought
Dominion.
I actually thought Syracuse was that remaining, when I said the chasm between the protected seeds and the 7-8s. I actually pegged Syracuse for that 7-8-9 range before that game. But you can't do that. I mean, you get one. I mean, we'll see how they play the rest of the year, and they have some decent wins.
At Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, at Ohio State. I mean, Georgetown, the rivalry. I mean, Georgetown proved this week they're probably their record's bloated. But, it's Syracuse was that team that was in the middle. This is the sort of loss that really hurts you come March. Really hurts you. I'll defer to Tytel, obviously, on that. But Old Dominion is not going to be a top 100 net team at the end of the year. They're going to be – it is going to be a Tier 3 loss, I dare say, especially since it's at home and the tiers go up that, are less generous as you are at home. That's going to be an anchor. I'm not saying it's the disqualifier that definitively ruins them. They go 9 – before, with their out-of-conference, had they won this game, they go 9-9 in the ACC. They're probably in, in that 8-9-10 range. Now they go 9-9. That Old Dominion loss is really going to weight their resume.
Tytel, I got to pull the upcoming schedule here. Speaking about what Syracuse is coming up, you didn't think it would be, but this may be their biggest game of the season coming up this week, is it not? There it is Tuesday night.
I think so. I mean, it's hard to say. Like, Georgetown should have beaten them. They needed a shot with 2 seconds left to upset not to upset the Hoyas, but to beat them. And then they got dump trucked by ODU, who is a good team. The fact that Syracuse is favored gives me some concern. Like, I'm not convinced that they should be favored, even at the Carrier Dome, against a very good mid-major team in Buffalo.
I think Buffalo's the better team. I don't know if they're so much better that they can go to the Carrier Dome and win. The one thing about that ODU game, if you watched it, Syracuse had a double-digit lead in the second half.
Yes, I did watch it.
I mean, when a team plays the kind of defense Syracuse plays and they're up double digits against a decent by under-the-radar standards, but not even good by under-the-radar standards, Old Dominion team, you just assume that they're going to win, and they didn't. ODU also had the win over VCU, but that's kind of a rivalry game, and they beat them at home. This was a little bit – this was a surprise, one of the bigger surprises of the day.
The other huge upcoming game there coming up on Saturday, just after playing Gonzaga last weekend, North Carolina now is part of the CBS Sports Classic along with the Ohio State-UCLA game. North Carolina and Kentucky. David, let me ask you about that game.
What
do you think about it?
Well, one team has really proven themselves, and the other team, their best win is at home against UNC Greensboro.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up pretty good.
But so. Remember, I would dare say that win that North Carolina had obviously proves themselves against Gonzaga. But before the Gonzaga game, you had a similar situation where the best win was a game while on the road against Wofford. So, I mean, yeah. North Carolina's resume, except for the Gonzaga win, is bare, but that's like saying, hey, you know, Gonzaga's win is resume is pretty bare except for beating Duke. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a big, you know, deal, but I understand. But you know, North Carolina, we're gonna find out a lot about Kentucky now this week, a lot.
I think we already have, but okay,
let's see what they do. I mean, they could surprise us, but let's turn over to the Big East and Titel. There is one undefeated team left in the country that is not in the rankings in any polls. And amazingly, it's a team that's in a power six conference, at least if you include the Big East as a power conference. What about the Jotties getting no love from the voters despite not having lost yet?
Yeah, similar to a Texas Tech situation in that the schedule has not been great 2-4 years ago, but winning all your games on the schedule counts as being undefeated. They have a couple more cupcakes coming up before Christmas, St. Francis, New York, and Sacred Heart. Then the big game, they go to Seton Hall on December 29th, their first real test, I would argue. So I was at the Georgetown SMU game last weekend, and I was sitting next to a guy who does scouting and is from the St. John's area. He says, I was like, wow, Shamori Pons is really good. He's averaging over 20 a game. The guy like laughs. He's like, if Pons put forth more effort, he could score 30 a game. He doesn't, which is why he's still so good that he can score 20 a game without giving it 100%, which I don't know if that's something where Chris Mullin needs to get more out of him or if that's just who he is. But I was surprised to hear that a guy, if he gave more effort, could score 30 a game in Division I.
Yeah.
I'm going to put money down that their top win, which is Georgia Tech, 67 in the net. I'm going to just say after tonight, I don't think Georgia Tech will be their top.
Yeah, after that loss, we'll see what happens with all these numbers. But actually, Titel, I want to stick with you for another second here because you want to discuss we already discussed the Kansas-Villanova game, but I'm sure you want a few seconds on what happened Tuesday night. And you called it here last week, as I recall.
I'll take the credit, I guess. But, I mean, it was unbelievable. They could not have beaten Villanova anywhere but the Palestra on that given night. The crowd was really into it. It helped that Villanova just couldn't do anything inside. They shot a ton of threes. They didn't make a ton of them. They were horrible at the free throw line, but so were my Quakers. And they just pulled it out at the end. I was overjoyed. Villanova has owned Penn for 15 years. They've owned the Big Five for the past 25 games. And it's certainly a marquee win on Penn's resume. If you had told me even 2 weeks ago that we beat Miami and Villanova back-to-back, I'd have thought you were crazy. Still not sure if we can win the Ivy League, but everybody in West Philadelphia is in a very good mood, obviously, this month.
David, I want one other game on Saturday. Butler gave a game effort against Indiana. I was kind of surprised at how well Butler played. I didn't think they were as good as that, but do you think they really are, even though they lost by three?
Well, relatively speaking, you know, they led that pretty much the entire game. And then Indiana seemingly for the second Saturday in a row trailed the entire game, but then somehow came back to be ahead at the end. I'm not a strong believer in Butler yet, but having said that, outside of Marquette and Nova, and maybe Seton Hall. I'm not really big on that many teams in this conference. So right. It wouldn't shock me too much if Butler were at least competitive in finishing in the top half of it.
Let's go to the upcoming schedule then here in the Big East. And Joby, let me ask you, is there any games that you're really circling this week? I personally see like maybe the game on Friday with Marquette.
The one that jumps out to me, well, I mean, Buffalo Marquette's.
Yeah,
really good, obviously. But the one that I'm intrigued by, because we talked about Oklahoma a lot, I do want to see this Creighton Oklahoma game. That's going to show a lot. I mean, we talked about the Oklahoma's proven themselves against the Creighton types. Can they do it yet again? Kind of that NIT, NCAA bubble-ish team. And this is Creighton's opportunity yet again to try to go on the road. They beat Oklahoma. I think Creighton, for now, David, can join that group of, hey, this is a team we need to talk about for the NCAA tournament.
Right.
The other game is UC Irvine. Butler is intriguing to me.
If they go there and if they go to Oklahoma and beat them, I think you're absolutely right, Jerry.
Yes.
Because in my opinion, that just elevates them to a level that they're not at right now. A couple other big games there, that Buffalo Marquette game. Big week for Buffalo. I know we're going to get to them in a little bit. Seton Hall at Maryland. I know the Hall beat Kentucky. If there's anybody that's kind of knocking on the door of a bid, it's them. And Maryland kind of needing that one too. I know we'll talk about them when we get to the Big Ten. But how about this Co-College Creighton game?
Good job by Creighton. Well, you know, they got the trip to Oklahoma one day back. You know, you got to give them a day off. Come on, David, be nice.
So why just not play anybody? Co-College.
Let's talk about the Big Ten.
And
Tytel, let me start with you at the top of the conference again with the team that is number one in the net, number one in the ESPN SOR. How about the Wolverines?
How about them indeed? I think that I agree with Joby that Kansas is the best team in the nation, but Michigan is not that far behind. We talk about teams like Texas Tech and St. John's that are not getting it done against a tough schedule. You look at Michigan, destroyed Villanova on the road, destroyed Providence neutral site, destroyed North Carolina at home, destroyed Purdue at home. They're beating these teams by 10, 15 more a game. Barely got by Northwestern on the road, but 11-0, arguably the best schedule in the country so far. And the way they're doing it is not with a guy's taking a ton of threes. It's John Beilein and his 1-3-1 defense, 55.8 points per game allowed, number three in the nation, Virginia-esque, if you will. They finish off this month with two cupcakes in Air Force and Binghamton, favored in each of their next six games by at least 8 points in each game. I cannot wait for a month from Wednesday, January 19th. It could be 17-0 when heading to Madison to face a very good Badgers team. Must see TV.
It is.
Yeah, you're overlooking that Indiana home game a little bit there, but I do think they agree with you that they win. But David, look, when you look at that resume, the left there, three tier one wins, two of which are on the road. I mean, I think I agree with Tytel. That is the best resume in the country.
It is. Well, we've been putting them on the one line. Right. Like they were number one overall the last couple of weeks, and they were two overall this week. But, how can you not? It isn't – they haven't just beaten protected seed-caliber teams. They've beaten them huge. Right. And, to win at Villanova, that's pretty remarkable.
Couple of the other games from this week that are up on the screen. Joby, we saw, I mean, Michigan State still there, Indiana, Wisconsin, Ohio State. I mean, who else? I mean, how many bids? What type of league are you looking at this? How many teams are you going down when you look through this conference?
I think it's pretty deep. They are the conference that will fill in those. When I said the ACC has that chasm and is missing that middle, these guys fill in the middle very nicely, you know, with your Nebraskas, your Marylands, you know, if Wisconsin doesn't make a protected seed or Indiana doesn't make a protected seed, they certainly fill in that 5-6 range very nicely. This is a strong conference, obviously. I think we're looking right now, more than I said preseason, I think it'll be right now 8 bids is conservative.
And Dave, we mentioned a little bit earlier. I can put them on the right hand side of the screen. One team that is not looking like a tournament team on the right there. What about the Boilermakers?
Well, I was still a believer in them until this past weekend, where they just didn't look that good against Butler. It wasn't that Butler had this incredible
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. I'm sorry, Notre Dame. It wasn't that Notre Dame had this incredible game. It's just that they looked bad and, like, you know, getting blown out at Michigan, although not any shame in that. But when you look at their losses, like a close one to Florida State, they were right in there with Texas. I was just like, well, this is a good team. They just haven't gotten the big wins yet, but they will, and they still might. But as of now, they've beaten no one.
Well, Tytel, you're our selection committee guessing expert. What do you do with a resume like that where they've all the losses are tier one, but there's a huge pile of them, and they weren't really close games for the most part? Yeah. Well, I guess a couple right of them now, are.
I think most of them were except Michigan, to be honest.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're probably right, but go ahead.
No, right now I put them squarely on the fence. The fact that four of those five top-tier losses are by single digits makes me think that they're right where they should be. I mean, you see the distinction. They beat the bad teams and they lose to the good teams, which means they're an average team. And obviously they're going to have tons of chances in conference play. Very interesting game against Belmont, arguably one of their best non-conference because they have all these other teams. But it is actually. I mean, Virginia Tech, Florida State, and Belmont.
Yeah, that would be their fourth best net rating there, non-conference. So that shows you what the Bruins are doing.
Can Belmont's we good. Look at another team real quick?
Sure, David. What team?
And I'm curious, because I don't have an opinion. I've got more questions than answers about the Buckeyes. Not an impressive showing at all on Saturday. Yeah, on paper, looking pretty good. You know, winning at Cincinnati, only team that has, beating Creighton at Creighton, I think the only team that has. But I hate the term eye test because, you kind of go by their profile, but they sweat against Samford a lot. They hosted Syracuse, didn't beat them. Now, that is their only loss, but Bucknell went in there and really should have won that game.
Really should have.
Yeah, it was not, and this is not even the Bucknell team that we've had the last few years in the Patriot League. This is a down year for Bucknell. So, I kind of agree with you. I think it'll be interesting on Saturday against UCLA, although UCLA is pretty lousy also. So, we may not really know about the Buckeyes until conference play.
Yeah.
And this is where I think the net actually shows it's a pretty quality rating because they, when we're just looking resume lazily at resumes, which I kind of play into with the J&G, I play into the human laziness. The fact is the net recognized that Bucknell game, Ohio State, you played poorly, and they punished the Buckeyes. Remember, the Buckeyes were consistently a top 10 net team. Now they're 24. That is the Bucknell game.
And if you look at all the metrics, the net is, other than the KenPom, it's their second worst metric, and that's where the net is really hammering them compared to anything else, if you look at that. But let's look at the upcoming schedule here in the Big Ten. It should be flashing up on the screen any second now. And there you go. David, is there anything that really stands out for you that we haven't discussed yet in the upcoming week?
A couple here. Purdue has got to – they're better than Ohio, but they better not overlook them. I mean, things can go from bad to worse pretty quick. Duquesne, we'll talk about them in a little bit, having an up year big time by their standards. Penn State, a team that we kind of liked. We didn't talk about them, but they've kind of underachieved. We kind of liked them coming into the year. That's not an easy game for Penn State, and they really, really need that one. Other than that, we kind of talked about Penn State has been the same team going to Alabama, so it's a big week for Penn State.
And also Circle Saturday, that's a rivalry game there, Illinois-Missouri, the bragging rights games.
Yeah, the bragging rights games. That's always fun, although this year neither team is good.
Let's head over.
I'm not going to watch the bragging.
Okay. Let's look for the SEC. And Joby, we've got not the certain where we want to start, but maybe we need to start with a couple of these teams up top here, especially Auburn and Tennessee, who's now number three in the nation. They are number four in your rankings.
Yeah. The team that I'm actually seeing, Tennessee's up there. And one of the reasons why is obviously the Gonzaga win, which – maybe some of the luster came off just because Carolina won at home, though. We all know Gonzaga's a good team. Tennessee's real. You know, they've produced their one loss is to the team that Tytel and I were talking about earlier in the Kansas Jayhawks. And Auburn's one loss is to, that poor team called Duke, So, I mean, this is a very strong conference at the top. I would point out what the game that impressed me, though, the most over this week involved that third team.
The third team. Tytel, I know you want to discuss them also.
But. Yeah, so I'll let Tytel go, but it's a segue to Tytel. Very impressed this week with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you got to give it to the Bulldogs. They are 9-1, I think it says, and kind of a situation where they haven't played a ton of great teams yet. Their only loss was by 5 to Arizona in Vegas, which sadly is looking like a tier 3 win at this point. Tier 3 loss at this point. Lamar Peters, I thought this team was going to be about all the big men. They had McDonald's All-Americans and Reggie Perry and returning guys like Eric Holman. Lamar Peters, his last 5 games, 25 of 44 from behind the arc, which means he's taking a ton, but making a ton, 5 a game. They're favored in each of their next 7 games. It could be 16-1 before the gauntlet at Kentucky and hosting Auburn in back-to-back games in January. I mean, good Lord.
David, when I look at this conference, also beyond these top 4, I'll include Kentucky in that group there, I thought that we'd see a lot more strength out of this league, and I don't know that we have. I mean, you're looking at is it Ole Miss or is it LSU the next best team? LSU just coming off the Houston loss.
I like this LSU team despite the Houston loss. Vanderbilt, who had a real nice win the night,
real nice,
has been really impressive. Not so much. It's just we didn't know what to make of them coming into the year, and then they were dealt injuries. Yet here they are, still 8-2 overall, or 7-2, I guess, having a really big year despite everything they have going against them. That's one of the better stories, and you kind of hope that they're able to finish the deal off and make the big dance because, you know, Bryce Drew doing a hell of a job there.
Yeah, they should be coming up there on the screen in a second here. On the left side, if this screen will update for us. There it is. The Kent State loss being the only disappointing, but now their best one of the season tonight over Arizona State.
Yeah.
And Joby, I can't figure out the team on that I just put up on the right there. Still getting votes in both the polls, despite being 5-4 overall. The Florida Gators, is there anything there, or is it just pollsters voting for the name?
Of course they're voting for the name. But, you know, the fact is that this is a very – say. Add some more, you know, let them play Mercer this week and Florida Gulf Coast in 2 weeks. And you know what we got? We got Purdue.
I mean, that's the same recipe, isn't it?
You know, don't let the 5-4 fool you. They're going to be 7-4 soon. And we'll find out against Butler later how they can do it. And can they make the tournament? Certainly, because the SEC gives you opportunities. But man, you got to win some of these. It's what we were talking about with Purdue. You got to win some of these or you're in trouble, and they might be in trouble because they didn't pull off those wins like that game against Oklahoma that we referenced in the very first conference.
Tytel, let me bring you back in here. I'm going to bring up the upcoming schedule in the SEC. We've discussed a few of these games in connection with the other conferences, but some interesting games still, though, in the league. I think that Auburn-NC State, for example.
The one I got my eye on is right in the middle. Furman at a underwhelming LSU team. I think LSU is favored, but similar to the Buffalo-Syracuse game, I don't know that they should be.
I think they should be, but
I'll be honest. I think you can maybe prove me wrong this week against Furman. Chad pointed out how they squeak by so many teams, but yet they're undefeated. I actually think LSU's kind of garbage. Really? I mean, I don't like the way they play. I don't. They have the nice win against Charleston, but I just don't. I'm not a believer in LSU at all, and we're going to find out a lot. And there's a part of me who's rooting for Furman to knock the Tigers off that shelf because I think they play a sloppy brand of basketball and deserve the 3 losses they got.
Yeah, there's a part of me that's rooting for Furman, too. The entire part. But I just don't know if they're good enough to win at LSU. But we shall see.
Sure. David, I highlight a few other games here. Wofford at Mississippi State, dangerous game for
Mississippi. That one's going to be good. If Wofford, this is their last chance to make a really big statement and have any shot at all getting inside the bubble. Mississippi State, I think they're good enough, and I think they're mentally strong enough to not overlook them.
But you also have Saturday, Murray State at Auburn, a very good Murray
State
team.
That's going to be a fun
Texas
one,
State at Arkansas, a very good record from Texas State, although I don't know if they're that great of a team. At Vanderbilt, Kansas State on Saturday. I'm definitely circling that one after what Vanderbilt
did. Big game for both teams, both needing that one.
But on that note, let's move let's move over to the league that I know you don't want to discuss, but we have to because it's part of the show here. How about the first place Colorado Buffaloes that we all picked to win the Pac-12 heading into the
They're really amazing. I know that they have not played the toughest schedule, which I've said about a lot of teams. They've only lost by 6 points at a decent San Diego team, a 9-3 Toreros team. Everybody knows about McKinley Wright, who could be a contender for Pac-12 Player of the Year. One guy you haven't heard of, but you should, 6'10 center Lucas Seawert. He's made 16 of 29 threes so far. He's 6'10. Talk about a stretch five spreading the floor. The reward for going so well, 9-1, I believe, is that they get to go to the 8-1, pardon me. They get to go to the Diamond Head Classic and spend Christmas in Honolulu.
Yes.
The final of that could feature a 10-1 Buffalo team against a 10-1 TCU team, which would be a fantastic game.
Yeah, and David, yes. Normally this time of year when we're looking at a power conference like the Pac-12 or the ones that say they're power conferences, when we look in the right-hand screen, we see more wins than losses. Right there on the screen, I got 7 losses, only 6 wins last week by this conference.
Yeah.
Belmont, Texas A&M, which is beating Oregon State.
They're garbage.
Baylor at Arizona. Yeah. USC losing, Utah, the Vanderbilt, what Arizona State just did today, and they were ranked in the top 25. What the hell's wrong with the Pac-12?
Well, they're not getting, in addition to not like, they're just not getting the quality of wins. I mean, Colorado is 8-1. The record's bloated, but as like we just got done assessing, the schedule isn't the best. Arizona State is like the only team outside of maybe Arizona that's actually beaten some teams that have quality on they're the only ones with any quality on their profile. UCLA, all their wins have come at home. Oregon, done nothing. Oregon State, bloated record, but a weak schedule. Stanford's done nothing. USC can't even win their home games. Cal can't beat anybody. It's a lack of wins, but more importantly, it's a lack of quality wins. Nobody has any.
And I'm going to do the Pac-12 a quick favor here. If you look on the screen, we're going to make them 500. There we go. Utah just picked up a win over FAMU. So congrats to them. But if you look at the scores of the games they won, though, Cal by 1, Oregon by 10, Arizona State by 2 at a lousy Georgia team.
Colorado sneaking by New Mexico where they were down 20 for most of that game. I'm still shocked they won.
Joe, do we need to relegate this conference down to under the radar? I mean, is that how bad this league is?
Well, the thing is, let's not do that, but the fact of the matter is, after tonight, they might not have a ranked team. But the fact of the matter is, this is a pattern. This is not a one-year thing, except for Arizona, Titel's Arizona. This conference has not been producing consistent people in the tournament, and that includes the Bruins. There have been several years where they are on the verge of one or two bids, the two bids happening because the one bid that is assured, like in Arizona, gets upset in the tournament. That's like saying, well, this year, Gonzaga's in, but if they all of a sudden lose to somebody in the tournament, well, hey, West Coast is a two-bid league, even though this year the West Coast might be better than the Pac-12, actually. And I'm not – that's a straight non-hyperbolic taste, at least at the top. The West Coast is probably better than the bid.
Titel, let me ask you that question, though. What is wrong with the Pac-12?
So if I had to put my finger on one factor, I would say – the talent drained to the NBA. You look at the teams in this conference. Defending MVP, James Harden, ASU, he did not stay 4 years. MVP the year before that, Russell Westbrook, UCLA, he did not stay 4 years. Granted, they didn't need to because they were so good. Arizona, number one pick last year, DeAndre Ayton. Washington, number one pick the year before that, and Markelle Fultz. The coaches in this conference are great recruiters and can get the best players in the country who turn into some of the best pros in the world. However, unlike some other conferences, a lot of these guys don't stay 4 years. I know guys at Kentucky and Carolina and Duke all leave early too. But when you have to keep replacing teams, guys, year after year, even if you bring in a guy like Lugenz Dort for ASU or Bull Bull for Oregon, it's hard. There's a drop-off. And, like, I know they shouldn't be losing to a Vanderbilt team that doesn't have Darius Garland and a Belmont team, period. But they do. I don't think it's coaching. I don't think it's because they have bad players. It's talent drain. All the good guys go to the NBA every year, and you got to keep refueling and recalculating and reloading every year.
And do you see a little bit here of what Nevada and Gonzaga have been doing there, taking some of this West Coast talent that's been going to the Pac-12 schools, or do you think that's not a factor?
I guess that's part of it, although the fact that, like, Nevada has the Martin twins who transferred all the way from NC State.
True.
Gonzaga has guys from all over the world, Rui Hachimura from Japan and Killian Tilly from France and stuff. I'll give you that. I suppose that some players in the West Coast don't automatically assume Pac-12 where they would have even 5 or 10 years ago, but I don't buy that as the main factor.
David, I'm going to pull up the upcoming schedule here if anybody wants to bother watching Pac-12 hoops for any reason. Is there any
Ryder or Wazoo?
You got UCLA at Cincinnati, big week. That's for them, right before they have the Ohio State game, but anything else that you're circling there?
We mentioned it earlier, Oregon-Baylor, big game for both teams.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we also mentioned the Kansas-Arizona State game.
Yeah.
UC Davis and Montana are both traveling to Arizona this week. Maybe a 2-0 week, Tytel.
I hope.
let's go to the American Conference, where we have the one, yet another undefeated team here, Joby, the Houston Cougars at the top of the conference.
Proved themselves this week a little bit. I know that, like I said, I actually think it might have been a case of LSU being garbage. Yeah, you know, than Houston. But hey, it's a win. It's a legit win. Good for Houston. And don't pass over that St. Louis win. Don't paste over it quickly. I think St. Louis is a good team. At least bubble-ish level, quality level. The A-10 might not allow them the opportunities to actually become a real at-large considered team, but it's a good team. And so Houston, hey, are they 10-0, the level of Kansas, Virginia, Michigan? No, they're not. But I actually think that they are a – right now with the resume they've put together, they are a protected seed level right now. Now, will that hold? I don't know. You lose a few times in this conference, and that could really weigh down your resume. But for now, I'll give Houston a little credit.
Tytel, this week, a 2-0 week this week also for Central Florida, including winning the Battle of Orlando there over Stetson. But what about UCF? Is this team for real now?
I really like this team. They have two losses by a combined 3 points. They're this close to being undefeated. Our big man in the middle, Taco Fall, is starting to get it done. He still doesn't take – he makes every shot he takes because he's 7'6", but he doesn't take a ton of them. Luckily, the defense is still there, averaging 5 blocks a game over his last four. However, Hackershack is the key here. He's shooting 5 of 18 from the free throw line. However, because this conference is garbage, UCF is favored in each of their next 13 games. Dream about a scenario. They could be 22-2 in February, late February, when they hit the Cincinnati.
Ooh.
Yeah.
David, what about that Cincinnati team? We already mentioned their Mississippi State loss, but
yeah, but I mean, we also mentioned how good we think Mississippi State is. They've got two losses on the year, one to Ohio State in a game that, if you missed it, don't go back and watch it. It was awful. And another one at Mississippi State who plays in a power conference and who is going to have a very strong home record. So I still like the Cincinnati team. I still think they'll be in the top half of the bracket.
Yeah, I'll put their profile here on the screen in a second here if we can get to come up here. But
the reason it wasn't coming up, Chad, is because you spelled it wrong.
Yes, I know that. That's why I was trying to stall there.
You screwed it up. That's why there was a problem.
But there it is. I mean, both their losses are tier one losses, and they do have a tier one win over an Ole Miss team. I don't think that it'll be a tier one win at the end of the season, but it is for now. Yeah. But Tytel, I know you're a Fran Dunphy fan, obviously. I want to pull up the Temple Owls on the right-hand side there. Well, the net doesn't like them, a lot of the other metrics do so far. Is there anything here with this Temple team this year?
Could be. I mean, I can't wait for them to play Penn next month. We'll see the old Big Five rivalry getting renewed and Dunphy's final year, his last game ever against his former team where he had so much glory during my long, long time ago attendance at year old 10. A similar resume to some of the teams we've seen so far in terms of other question marks, like Florida and Purdue, in terms of no tier one wins, but all the losses are good losses, quote unquote. They have a really great backcourt in Shiz Alston and Quinton Rose. I don't know if there's enough around them in the front court to do any damage in the winter, much less get to March. But again, since this conference is not that great, I don't see any reason why you can't win double-digit number of conference games.
All right. Let's go quickly through a few more things here. Quickly, the upcoming schedule in the American first. Joby's coming up there on the right. I don't know that – maybe we got to circle that UConn-Villanova game on Saturday, obviously. I don't know what else we really circle here this week,
though. Yeah, and let's see. You know, Tytel mentioned Central Florida's favor, but Illinois State's a little schizophrenic. They have the potential to knock off.
They've been pretty lousy this year, quite honestly.
There's one on there that's really – Utah State at Houston. I'm looking forward to that one.
I guess we should maybe mention here also Tulsa, 9-3, very quietly. Yeah.
Good win this week by Tulsa.
Yeah, so we've got to keep – I think, unfortunately, we've got to keep an eye on this team. I know we're big Frank Haith fans here. But,
he's 9-3. What can
the big crosstown rivalry there on Saturday at Oral Roberts. But let's take a quick look at the Mountain West with – and, David, let's start off with the undefeated team here, the Nevada Wolf Pack, getting it done again against South Dakota State in an entertaining game this weekend.
Yeah, real entertaining, real close. And I think that one of the – things that I hope people took away from it was how good South Dakota State was, although they haven't won a true road game yet. But I again, Nevada, if you look at their profile, a lot of decent wins, no really, really good wins other than maybe Arizona State. But the pathway is clear. They're going to be favored in every single game the rest of the way, probably until the Elite Eight. If they get that far, there will not be a single game that they're not favored in.
I agree with that. That should be coming up here in a second if the screen refreshes. If not, then we just there it is. Akron at Utah and then conference play. And also Tytel on the right side there, quietly 7-2. What about Fresno State? Anything there?
Perhaps the Northwestern win, they destroyed Northwestern by 19. That's something that we have not seen from a lot of teams that we have been on the fence so far in terms of a quality tier one win. The Miami loss is looking more and more horrible every day, unfortunately. This is a decent little team. They're favored in each of their next five games, so they could be 12-2. Then they have a nice gauntlet of at Utah State and hosting Nevada, so I don't know about that. The big problem is the very recent injury news, the starting senior point guard, Sean Taylor. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a dislocated left elbow. So, unfortunately, I think this team is going in the wrong direction, but once he gets back healthy, if they can survive without him, they should be decent when he's healthy.
Well, if you look at the upcoming schedule, though, I mean, I guess the game you got circled there is the home game against Nevada because that's where they can make their noise, and I don't think he'll be back by January 12th. So that is the that's where it's going to hurt them. The rest of the games all look winnable.
At Utah State, but
the Nevada, I mean, if they can't get that, if they don't have for the Nevada game, they're going to find a way to win at Nevada, and that may be a lot more difficult.
But that's the thing. They have their built-in excuse because he's hurt, so they have nothing to lose, right?
Upcoming schedule of the Mountain West. What we've got here for the conference, I don't know. I mean, Akron at Nevada, I don't know. Let's move on to another conference. How about the Zags in the West Coast Conference, Joby? They're coming off back-to-back losses, correct?
Is it back-to-back? There was nothing in between, like exams? I didn't realize.
There wasn't, but, I mean, yeah, they're coming off back-to-back losses.
Against
two number one.
You know, hey, they gave Carolina what Carolina needed. Carolina needed that game more than Gonzaga. I mean,
they did.
I don't know if there was Carolina, because they play in the ACC, doesn't have to have a desperation. But, you know, it's the old, hey, you typically don't get a protected seat without being another protected seat along the way out of conference. Carolina got theirs. Gonzaga already had theirs against Duke. Nothing changes. This, I actually, of all the teams, when I look at my own personal eye test, no ranking embarrasses me in the J&G more than Gonzaga at 16 because they are much better than 16.
I agree.
You know. It's just that this how the numbers crank out and they'll change. But I was like, ugh, I actually think Gonzaga is like a top, you know, finish 7 or 8, given the resume. I don't know about that. You know,
I still think they're a top four
team. I think they're a top five team. But, you know, the resume doesn't, with the two losses recent, doesn't show it. But I think they are just out. They are still a Final Four contender. Nothing changes. And good for them. When we get to the next page, you'll see upcoming schedule. Nothing changes what they've done so far this year. I'd love it. This is how you do it.
I think they're a top five team. It's just that I think Tennessee is a top three team, and I also think that they're better than North Carolina or will be when they're at full strength, but they're not so much better that they're going to be able to beat them in Chapel Hill.
Exactly.
I don't really move them. When you're losing to teams that are ahead of you, why move them down? And I didn't. I mean,
what helps Gonzaga this year is I do think this is the deepest, and I actually had to be corrected on this a couple of Hoops HD ago. So I will reverse what I said, and because I was correctly corrected, this is the deepest West Coast league that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Quality up and down, maybe not Santa Clara and Portland, but every other team I kind of like a little bit, and some I really like, and I'll let others talk about them. But there's some really good teams in the West Coast. We're talking borderline, definite NIT, borderline NCAA sort of type.
Yeah, Tata, let me throw – I think you have some interesting facts on Gonzaga also before I move on beyond them.
Yeah, so obviously losing to Tennessee and North Carolina any year is nothing to lose sleep over, especially this year when they're top 10 teams. But losing back-to-back games for Gonzaga is a rare event, so I hope we can appreciate how big a deal this is. Granted, it wasn't so surprising. They're still missing two key pieces in Geno Crandall and Killian Tilly. I think both of them are due back from their injuries in the weeks ahead. Last time the Zags lost two in a row at all was BYU and San Diego back in 2014. Last time they lost two in a row in non-conference play was 2012 to Illinois and Michigan State. They just never lose back-to-back games.
Wow. David, when we look at the standings, though, Gonzaga's in the three line. What about LMU and San Francisco up top there?
Well, LMU, they had the nice win against Georgetown and a smattering of games against the pastry card. I mean, some of it's decent. San Francisco played really – like, the other thing, LMU just did not look all that good at UCLA. That was kind of their chance to get some meat on their resume. San Francisco, their only loss was a really close game against Buffalo on a neutral floor. So,
and across an ocean. I mean, you know, it's not exactly an easy trip for either of them, but especially San Francisco – Buffalo going to Europe is one thing. San Francisco going to Europe is halfway around the dang club.
Yeah.
I mean,
San Diego, another good team, has a nice win over San Diego State. They're kind of a team to watch. So, really, the top – I mean, you have a one-seed caliber team, and then you have three others that might be hovering around the bubble by the end of the year.
Yeah, and there's the upcoming schedule. You see Gonzaga is hosting Texas Arlington, so that losing streak will end. Then they've got Denver as well, so kind of a week off this week for them. San Francisco, a couple games also. I don't know if there's anything. Yeah. Maybe the San Diego-Washington State game. San Diego should be favored in that one.
They're a lot better than Wazoo. I think they're going to win that. I think San Fran is a lot better than Stanford, especially playing at home. I think they're going to win that one.
Yeah, I also keep an eye on that St. Mary's at Western Kentucky game, but that's tough with St. Mary's going cross-country. That Western Kentucky game has been complete. Yeah. Team has been so schizophrenic this year, though.
Very schizo.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to run through the Atlantic 10 very, very quickly. So there's the standings. Quickly, Joby, anything to discuss at all at the top of these standings?
Couple stories here, but
I mean,
no.
I mentioned St. Louis is a good win for Houston. Yeah. I'll stick by that, even with, you know, how it is. And VCU, you know, VCU, what are you doing losing the College of Charleston?
Yeah.
I mean, because not the VCU was a tournament team, but that's the sort of thing that really hurts the conference as a whole, because VCU does have some nice quality wins and some quality appearances.
Yeah.
They kind of blew it. You know,
VCU has the kind of wins that the committee would like, but they have the kind of losses that the committee would hate. The big thing, how about Fordham and Duquesne? The conference a little upside down this year. Fordham's had some disappointing moments, but we're not used to seeing 8-3, 8-2 out of those
two. I'm sorry. When a team that's like Fordham who's lost to Maine is at the top of the conference, I think that's all you need to say about the Atlantic 10.
Well, things could be better.
Here's the upcoming schedule. And Tytel, let me ask you about the upcoming schedule. I think there's a game you're circling on Friday. Am I correct?
We are all circling, those of us who like losers. LaSalle is 0-10. Their leading scorer, Pookie Powell, still out with a lower body injury. They're one of four winless teams in the nation. However, another one of those winless teams, Alabama A&M. If they lose at South Alabama, which I'm sure they're going to do on Wednesday, you get your 0-10 team against your 0-10 team in where, Chad?
Right in my backyard here in Atlantic City. Follow my Twitter. If it happens, odds are I'm going to be at that game. I'm making
sure. Centenary Award implications that game.
Huge. Another game I would circle this coming week, though, St. Louis and Florida State. Keep an eye on that one. I think they're. Yeah. If anybody does have some life in this conference, it is a SLU team. Want to pull up two other teams very quickly here. We'll just pull up their team sheets. They are both ranked in the top 25. We've mentioned them a little bit already. But David on the left there is going to be Buffalo in a second here, and the right will be that Furman. Furman, who is now in the top 25 in both polls as of this week. They finally cracked into the coaches poll as well.
Yeah.
But let's start with you know, Buffalo. We've talked about their big schedule this week at Syracuse and at Marquette.
Yeah, well, it is a big week. They're in the rankings. They deserve to be in the rankings. I think that they're on pace to land inside the bubble. That's how good they are. But let's not go crazy. They're ranked 14th largely because they beat West Virginia at West Virginia. That win not looking so good. Look at West Virginia's net right now.
Yeah.
Do we need to dial back the credit we give them for that? That's not to say don't tweet. This is still a good Buffalo team, but I don't think that they're as good as their ranking. But if they go and they win the next two, then of course I'm going to say, okay, this is a protected seed caliber team.
Yeah, Joby on the right there, the Furman Paladins, their biggest test of this remaining this schedule coming up this week as well.
No, exactly. And at LSU, you know, hey, it's still a Power 5 team. East Tennessee State also looming. That's a solid under the radar team.
Yeah.
That may not get the attention. Furman has the win at Villanova. Because Loyola Chicago's improved. You haven't been paying attention, but they've actually improved as the year's gone on. That could be a top 100 win and maybe get to the 75 range. Who knows? The fact of the matter is, if they can win at LSU, win at East Tennessee State, and avoid too many slip-ups in conference, they've got a real case come March, plain and simple. And their conference isn't bad.
Well, the conference is very good. Good.
Wofford's good. Sanford's good. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'll show the SoCon standings right here, in fact, on the screen real quick. You know, actually, he says that's a conference game also. Wofford, Citadel, surprisingly good.
Citadel having 5-2 in D1. But Yeah.
But let's go ahead and pull that down then. And, Joby, let me go to you for any final thoughts on the night here.
We talk about Buffalo a lot, rightfully so. I'm going to throw out one other under the radar component from the same conference. Toledo, one loss. That's it. Now, it was the right state, et cetera. But they also have, you know, some decent little wins here and there with Marshall, UC Irvine, who's probably going to win their conference in the Big West. It is going to be interesting if Buffalo can run through this little back-to-back gauntlet of a schedule, undefeated, or even with one loss, we could see a mid-January game, one loss versus one loss in the MAC, you know, in mid-January. When was the last time we saw that? And yet, yeah. Kent State might even be the best of all of them. Who knows?
Tytel, let me throw it over to you.
So I was going to do my final thought about my upcoming horror show, which is going to be something else we'll show later, but I'm going to focus on our good friend Angry Frank here. So,
I hope he is really angry Wednesday night. I'll just leave him.
Talking a guy 2 years ago, they won 26 games and he was in the Final Four, which is why he got his contract extension that he's going to stay there until 2022, perhaps. Last year, 17-16 overall. Right now, 4-5. Home loss to Stony Brook by 2. Home loss to Wofford by 20. And a road loss to a Wyoming team that is all of 3-7 doesn't get any easier. Next two home games, a little undefeated team called Virginia and a nice little ACC team called Clemson. Then we get the SEC play. And they beat Georgia twice? Sure, anybody can. The other 16 SEC games are all against top 100 teams. They start three freshmen. They're very young. A.J. Lawson, T.J. Moss, Keyshawn Bryant. So there's a reason for this. It's not like he's has a Final Four caliber team and is just underperforming. He got his extension in 2016. You better check that $4 million buyout clause because I don't know if he's going to make it 2022.
Wow. I don't know. But I would note that you did skip a one of their non-conference games. They do have North Greenville on the schedule still.
Yeah.
Are they favored?
David, let me throw to you for the final thoughts of the night.
Again, it's just I think we kind of covered everything. It was an exciting Saturday and all of that. I just find it interesting that we just didn't work. I have no final thought.
Okay, I don't know what that was, David, but thank you for saying nothing. I guess on that note, on behalf of John Tytel, Joby Fortson, David?
Yes?
Okay, how come I had the head to our hands on my screen?
Oh, well, I was just going to say that we weren't able to work him into the show today. Sorry, he'll be back next week.
Well, on behalf of Handy Hand Durahan, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again Wednesday night with Under the Radar. More Hoops HD report next week. I think we'll be recording Sunday night next week. Yeah. But have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon.